Mary. Join me as we look at Disney destinations and what you need to know so you can be a jolly traveler. Hi, and welcome back. Thank you for joining me for episode 4. We're picking up where we left off in episode 3 of a recent family trip to Disney World. We had just gotten to Pop Century and checked into our room, and now we are out waiting to catch the bus to take us for a day at Animal Kingdom. The first thing I want to talk about is some new operations that are in place for the bus system. If you've been to Disney before, you know that each Disney resort has buses that will take you to the 4 theme parks: Magic Kingdom, Epcot, Animal Kingdom, and Hollywood Studios. That is all the same, but what they have changed is when you're waiting for the buses, they now have you socially distanced between each other in the line where you wait. So those lines can look much longer due to that social distancing, because you have to take into account that they have everybody 6 feet apart. So when you look at the line, you might think, oh my goodness, this is going to take forever. But really, it's just that extra space put in between the parties that gives it that look. Along with that, the bus capacity is much smaller because they are not loading the buses like they used to. If you've ever been before, you know that the bus drivers would make sure that they would pack on as many people as possible. There would be people sitting, there would be people standing, there would be children in laps. They would have it as full as possible. Now they have certain regions numbered off within the bus where it only accounts for a smaller amount of people that can board each bus. Depending on the party size will depend on how many groups can get on each bus. When you get to the front of the line, the bus driver will ask you how many are in your party, and once you tell them, they'll instruct you on where to go. So they might say seat number 5. So in seat number 5, it's more of an area than a specific seat. So you'll then board the bus, look for your coordinating number, and you'll sit down at that time. Along with the social distancing in between the seats, they also have plastic dividers in between each group. So once you are seated, it really feels like you're in your own little pod, in the fact that you really can't see. You can probably see the party that's with you across the aisle, but you can't see much else that's going on because you are in those little pod areas. So that's a little different, but there's nobody standing, very few groups on the bus. I was a little concerned, thinking that the bus might take a lot longer than normal due to having a fewer number of people able to be on the bus. But Disney did a great job while we were there. As soon as one bus would be full, that bus would leave, and it would be a matter of minutes before there would be another bus right behind it to load up. So they did a really good job of keeping people loading and unloading on those buses at a regular pace, making sure everyone got to the parks in a timely manner. So that was really good. The next thing we need to talk about is the change to the procedures once you arrive. Once you get to the theme park, you are going to walk to the front entrance, and the first thing you're going to encounter is the temperature screening booth. This is a third-party company that is there to take everyone's temperature, and it's with the thermometers that just scan over your forehead. It's a very quick process. If the temperature scanner reads your temperature of 100.4 or higher, you are then stopped at that point. From what I understand, and I did not witness this because when we went through the scanners, everybody just went right through. But what I have heard is that if you do read higher than the 100.4, they will pull you to the side and give you a moment. Let's say you parked your car in the parking lot and had to walk quite a ways to get there, and it's a hot day, that might affect your temperature reading. And they do give you an opportunity to kind of stand there for just a moment, and then we'll retake your temperature. In the event after the retake that you are still above the 100.4, then you are not allowed to enter the park that day. That process went very quickly. Quickly go right through the screening tent, and then the next place you go is to security. Security has changed a lot from the way it used to operate. I travel with a backpack when I go to Disney simply because I like to carry a raincoat in there with me. In the event of a pop-up shower, like so often happens in Central Florida, I like to have that raincoat handy, as well as if I am wearing tennis shoes to the park that day, I'll throw in a pair of flip-flops because I don't like my tennis shoes and socks getting wet. So if I see it's going to rain, I will stop and pull over and dig out the flip-flops and change my shoes, and then I'm good to go. So I always have those two items, along with other things, in my backpack. And in the past, when you would go through security, you would have to stop at the table, you'd have to unzip every zipper, and the security person would go through everything in your backpack. And then once you were cleared, you were able to go to the next place. And that did take a little time because they are physically going through everyone's backpack, fanny pack, tote bag, whatever they're having to go through. Now what they have in place is a scanner very similar to something you might see at the airport, where you can keep your backpack on and you walk right through. And if they don't see anything that would raise a white flag, then you're allowed to continue on. If you do have something in there that's going to trip that scanner, then you are then pulled aside, where there are security people that are going through your bags like they would have in the past. I am going to let you know some things that will trigger that alarm and make you go to the side. And if you don't have those things in your bag, or you can bag them separately together where you can pull that bag out before you go through security, it will help you go through a lot faster. Here are some items. An umbrella. Anything aluminum, like an aluminum thermos or drinking container, or a metal bottle with sunscreen, you know, that have the sunscreen that you can spray on. If you have a portable fan, if you have a hard sunglasses case, those types of things are going to make the alarm go off and you're going to have to go to the side. What I ended up doing is, first of all, if you have an umbrella, you're going to want to pull that out anyway, and they'll have you hold it in front of you as you go through the scanner. If you have a big Ziploc bag where you can put all the things that might trigger it, like the portable fan, your sunglasses case, the sunscreen, if you can group it all together in a Ziploc bag, that way when you get to that point, you can simply just pull that bag out of your backpack, go through the scanner, and that way they can see what's in that bag. It's going to go much faster. If you leave those things loose in your backpack or your tote bag, it's going to take longer. You're going to have to go to the side and be searched like you would in previous times before COVID. So if you just keep that in mind, it's going to make your process getting through security go much faster. So now you've gotten your temperature screened done, you've gotten through security, and now you're getting ready to go through the gates of the park. Something that has changed here is that normally if you have a magic band, you would scan your magic band, and then they would ask you to use one of your fingerprints as identification to ID you to your magic band. So you would do your fingerprint, and then you would be able to go through. Disney has taken away the fingerprint part of that procedure to keep from having to have another touch point, to keep down, you know, they're trying to keep people away from touching as much as possible. So they've simply taken away the fingerprint aspect of those magic band entries. So once you tap your magic band, you're in the park. Overall, I would say getting into the park, the time to do that is much faster, even with the addition of the temperature screening. They have it so streamlined, and they have it down to a system. And especially if you can take my advice on taking out things that might set off those scanners or putting them all together, that's going to really help you get through all of that very quickly. Now we've gotten into the park. We haven't eaten since we left our home that morning, so we were hungry, on the borderline of being hangry, if I'm being honest. And we decided that we were going to eat at one of the quick service restaurants in Animal Kingdom, Restaurantosaurus. And that is a restaurant that's close to Dinosaur. Animal Kingdom does not have a lot of table service options under normal circumstances, but they have even fewer now. The three that they have available currently are the Rainforest Cafe, Tiffin's, and Yak and Yeti. Now, Yak and Yeti also has a quick service location as well, right outside from the table service restaurant, but those were the three that were open when we were there. But that is okay because Animal Kingdom is one of the parks that I think has some of the best options for quick service meals. And that's what we had decided we were going to do on this day, was eat two quick service meals instead of trying to do a table service meal. Now, with your quick service, that brings me to my next point, that you're going to want to make sure to have your My Disney Experience app downloaded on your phone, because all of the quick service locations now at Disney requires you to mobile order. What that does is you can either wait until you're outside of the restaurant to mobile order, or you could be like us and you could mobile order while you're sitting on the bus. You can pull up the restaurant that you're going to want to go to. You can search the menu, actually place your order right then. And then when you get close to the restaurant, you go back into that reservation and you tell them that you are there so they can prepare your order. Now, along with having the app downloaded on your phone, you're also going to want to link a credit or debit card to your My Disney Experience account, because what that's going to do is when you mobile order, when it comes time to pay, you already have that loaded into that app. So you'll simply place the order, you'll verify that's the way that you want your payment to be made, and you're good to go. That order has been made. So you'll just pull that order up when you're ready to actually pick up your food, let them know that you're there, and then you'll watch for your notification that your order is ready. Now, at all of these quick service locations, there are cast members located outside of the restaurant, and you have to show them when your order is ready so they will let you into the restaurant. You can't just go ahead and order and go in there and hang out and wait. They make you stay outside of the restaurant, show them that your order is ready, and then they will allow you to go in the restaurant at that point. Most times, it will tell you what register or window to go to find your order, so that's very helpful. You'll go and show the cast member that you're there. They'll give you your food, and now it's time to go find your place to sit. Along with everything else that Disney's doing, they're social distancing people in the restaurants as well. So you'll have to find a table that is marked that you can sit there, and you'll find your seat. At the quick service restaurants, most of the drinks are ones that you would fill at a Coke station. And in the past, you would go up and get your own drinks. Here again, Disney has a cast member there waiting to fill everything up for you. So you'll go to the Coke area, you'll hand them your receipt, let them know what you need, and they will refill everything for you. So they've taken out that step of you filling your own drinks, getting those all together, and the cast member will take over that job for you. I think we had cheeseburgers at that meal, the best I can remember. But they do have other options. No, I take that back. My husband had a salad. He said it was very delicious. And my son and I had cheeseburgers. And it was delicious, but we were so hungry. I don't think it would have mattered if it wasn't delicious. We were just so ready to have something to eat. But it was a good meal. And then we were ready to go ride some rides. I know I have told you before that the wait times were very low. So pretty much everything I'm going to tell you that we rode is going to be a walk-on time, or if it was a 15-minute wait, most of that time is spent just walking the queue to get up to the actual attraction. So if you see 15 minutes, you know that most of the time you might wait 5 minutes at the most, but most of the time is going to be trying to get to the queue to where you can even ride the ride. So we started off with a dinosaur. And then we went to Triceratops Spin, which is, it's very similar to Dumbo. I don't think my son for sure had ever ridden it, because he always was just blows it off. He's like, well, it's just like Dumbo, but in a dinosaur. I told him, I said, there's no wait. Let's just go over there and ride it. And he said that was a lot of fun. So take the time if you're down there and the waits are super low try some things that you've never done or something that has been a long time since you've ridden it, because this is the perfect opportunity to kind of enjoy those things that you might ordinarily not have time to do. The next thing we did, we went on the safari, which is one of my favorite rides at Animal Kingdom. But I want to talk a little bit about that ride in particular, because I do have a recommendation for you at this ride. This ride is, you're seated in a big safari type vehicle where in the past you would have, it would be all open between the rows so you could see all to the front of you, and then the sides of the vehicle are open where you could see to the side and you could see the animals very well, and it was just really an open, breezy kind of a situation. Something Disney has done to kind of decrease people being right on top of each other is in between each row, where it used to be open, they have put these large plastic barriers in between the rows. And while I understand why they did that, it does hamper you from being able to see to the front like you used to. You can still see side to side very well, but in front, your sight is a little impeded. What I did the first time we rode it was I asked the cast member when it was our time to be seated if there was any way that we could sit in the last row, and she let us do that, and it made a difference, because being in the last row, what is behind you is still open, so you have both sides and the back of you where you can turn around and see behind you. It makes a big difference in what you can see and how you see. We rode later in the trip. We just sat wherever they seated us at, and it was toward the front of the vehicle where we did have plastic dividers. And it was still enjoyable, but I much preferred sitting in that last seat. So that might be something to consider when you go, is just asking the cast member nicely if there's any way you can sit in the back. And I do think it makes a big difference. We got some really good pictures just by being able to turn around kind of backwards and catching things as we went through the safari. So that was a lot of fun. We also did Flights of Passage twice. Both of those were pretty much walk on. Like I said, the time it took, that queue is extremely long. So you spend most of your time just trying to get back through the queue to get to the ride. And we rode Everest. So we got a lot of things done just in a short amount of time. We were there, I would say, about 4.5 to 5 hours, because the park closed at 6 that day. And we did all of that and had 2 quick service meals and some snacks. We had 2 snacks there that we had not had before, and they were very good. So I feel they're worth mentioning in case you go and are looking for some good snack options. The first one, you can find this drink item at other places throughout the parks, but Animal Kingdom at this particular location is the only place where you can find it frozen. You can find it hot or iced other places, but like I said, this is the only frozen location, and it is found at the Royal Andaper Tea Company, which is very close to Collie River Rapids if you're looking for it. And it is a frozen chai tea, and it was so delicious. That being frozen gave it that slushy feel, and I'm sure most of you know what chai tea tastes like, but if you don't, it kind of reminds me of Christmas in a cup, and it was so good, and we really enjoyed that. And like I said, I had checked some other places at different theme parks to see if they had frozen, but they only had iced or hot. So if you're wanting frozen, you're going to want to check that out. The other thing that I tried for the first time for this trip was a Pongo Lupia, which is found at Pongo Pongo in Pandora, right outside Satuli Canteen. And Pongo Lupia is a very fancy word for a warm pineapple cream cheese spring roll. It was rolled in a very flaky pastry, and it tasted like it had some sugar sprinkled on top just to give it that little extra something something. It was delicious. $2.99, it was worth every penny of that. I had multiple snack outings at Pongo Pongo in Pandora because the Pongo Lupia was one of my favorites. Also, for our dinner before we left the park that day, we did eat at Satuli Canteen. That is another favorite of ours. And I think of lots of people that visit Animal Kingdom. It just has some really good options. You can have things that are very healthy. They allow you to pick your base, which would be like maybe a rice or a noodle or a quinoa. And then they allow you to pick, like, if you want beef or chicken or beef and chicken together. They have plant-based options. You get to pick what kind of sauce you want on it. So you kind of can customize it the way you might prefer. If you have somebody that sounds a little too much out of their comfort zone, they do also have something called a cheeseburger pod, which is like ground hamburger meat in a, I want to say it's almost like a puffy dumpling, although that's probably not the most accurate description. It's very good. It's not a bun, but it's almost like a dumpling. And it comes with slaw and some vegetable chips, and they're very good as well. So that's another option to eat at a quick service restaurant there. Again, you're going to want to mobile order. The cast member will, again, want you to verify that your order is ready, and then you can go in and pick that up. And they have options there where you can eat inside, or they have a covered patio area as well. Before leaving Animal Kingdom for the day, I do want to address character interactions, because I've had some clients reach out to me since I've come back wanting to know about character interactions and how that was. They were different at each park, so I'm going to kind of try to remember to go into each park, because it is a little different. At Animal Kingdom, they have a waterway that runs through that park, or through portions of that park. And I thought it was really smart how they allowed you to have those character interactions there, because they put the characters and the performers on little floating rafts, little boats going through those waterways. So if you would listen to the music, if you hear a music change, and it's a noticeable change, it would be something very soft and serene, and then it sounds very character-like, you're going to want to look to the water, because somewhere close by, there is either characters or a street performer of some kind that's fixing to be coming through the waterways. While we were there, we saw Pocahontas and Miko. We saw Mickey and Minnie and Donald. We saw a band, mostly it was drummers, but they were so fun because it's like you have a one-on-one moment with them, because everybody is so spread out. When they're waving at you, like, they're looking at you. You know, sometimes if you're at a parade and it's really crowded, you see a character and they would wave in your general direction, and you would want to make up in your mind, oh, that was me that they were waving to. No, this is really how it is. They're really waving at you. I feel like even though you can't get as close to the characters as you could before, it still feels very personal. And I think I was watching the children, and I really felt like that they felt that too, because even though it's from a distance, it was still a really cool experience to have those characters and those performers go through and really have that one-on-one interaction with you. So that's the way they did it at Animal Kingdom, where the floats kind of going through the waterways, and they went through multiple times. So if you happen to be on an attraction or somewhere that was not close to the waterway and didn't hear or see it, just keep that in the back of your mind. When you hear the music change, something's heading your way. So that was how they did that at Animal Kingdom. And like I said, the other parks were a little different, and we'll go into that in future episodes. I now want to take this time to remind you that my company, Jolly Holiday Travel Company, books Disney vacations worldwide, and we would love to work with you if you are thinking about taking a Disney vacation. If you have any questions, if you need some pricing, we would love to do that. Our services are always free to our clients, and we want to help you create the most magical vacation for you and your family. Just reach out to us at jollyholidaytravelcompany@gmail.com, or our website is www.jollyholidaytravelcompany.com. I have a wonderful group of agents that work for me, and myself or one of them would love to get back with you with any questions you might have. Next week, we're going to head to a character breakfast, and we're going to be at Epcot for the day. So I hope you come back, and we will go over just exactly what we experienced on our Epcot day. Until then, have a great rest of your week, and we'll see you soon. Thanks for joining me. I'm so grateful for our community. Until next time, whether traveling the world, the neighborhood, or just through life, remember, travel jolly.